Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Oderico, and I'm broadcasting live from Panama City Beach, Florida. I've got a great show for you this evening. For many of you listening, you're probably wondering who I am, so here's a little bit about me. I was born on March 16, 1964 in Hamilton, Ontario, in a little country north of here called Canada. Yes, I'm Canadian, but now I reside here in what I believe to be the greatest country, United States of America. I've played golf since about the age of seven and have taught privately for many years, and I'm currently an associate member teaching professional with the United States Golf Teachers Federation. And it was while I was at one of the certification courses back in 2010 that I met my business partner, Brian Buckley, or affectionately known as Buck. And while we attended the course, we had a number of discussions and developed a business relationship and formed Ted and Buck Golf Enterprises, LLC, or Ted and Buck Golf for short. While working together, we developed a number of projects, one being which was our iPhone app, T-Pro Golf Caddy, which was available at the Apple Store and actually did quite well. We had downloads in over 30 countries around the world, so we were pretty excited about that for a couple of new guys on the scene. We also operate a number of golf sites and blogs that I'm sure some of you have seen over the last couple of years. But our most recent project, of course, is the radio show that you're listening tonight, Golf Talk Live. So, again, welcome to the show, and let's get started. Well, again, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's tuning in. I appreciate all of the support. And just to give you a little bit about how this came about and why I wanted to start an online show like this, I've been really thinking over the last couple of years, and I've noticed that there's really not a forum, particularly for golf teaching professionals, such as myself and many of you that are listening. You know, obviously we have the Golf Channel, who does a great job in promoting the sport, but they tend to focus more on the tour and certain key individuals within the golf business. And there's really not a voice, in my opinion, for many of the golf teaching professionals and other members of the golf profession in general. And I wanted to really create a format with this program by which we would have a weekly broadcast and allow you, some of the teaching professionals out there, come on the show and talk a little bit about not only what you do and where you're teaching, but also a little bit about some of the techniques and things that you've brought to the game. And I just think it's a valuable tool. I think really what needs to be done, like with any profession, there's a lot of people I've noticed, obviously being on these different social networks like Facebook and Twitter and so forth, that do a lot of things independently, and that's certainly great. We all have to have our own way of getting our names out there. But there's really not one place that we can sort of come together as a group, that at least that I've found. Now, there may be some things out there, but and obviously the social media is good, but I wanted somewhere that listeners could tune in. We can have a chat, if you will, online and pass along some of the knowledge that we've learned over the years with our teaching abilities and so forth. In addition to that, I also just let me actually back up here for a second. I just want to make sure that people understand really what I'm going to do here tonight is just sort of explain to you the format of the program, again, what it's really going to be about, and also just some of the things that I'm going to do on my end and some of the people that are going to be upcoming in the next few weeks as guests on the program. The one thing that I'm not going to do, and if this is something that you're looking for, I'm not going to be your stats guy as far as what's happening on the tour. I'm certainly going to discuss things that are going on the tour that I think are relevant, and I'm going to do that actually here in a few moments. But I'm not going to be somebody that you can come to and find out who's leading such and such tournament or whose stats are what. There's just too many forums out there, such as PGAtour.com, that you can get that information from. So there's really not much point in me doing that. So really what I want to do is create, as I say, a platform For those in the golf industry, particularly the instructors that are out there, a platform, as I said, for you guys to call in or come in as a guest, and let's really try to spread golf around. I'm certainly going to have other things on here as well, but that's pretty much what the format of the program is going to be. Obviously, we want your average golfer to call in and be able to have a chance to speak with a teaching professional and get some tips and so forth along the way. And that's really what we want to do here with this. And we hope that you'll come on board with this. We've had a number of people already contact me personally wanting to be a guest. And some of those, I'll just read you off a couple here that I can think of. May 30th, scheduled to come on the show is Nicole Weller. She's the head teaching professional at the Landings Club out in Savannah, Georgia. She's going to be coming here and talking with me on the 30th, just a little bit about some of the programs that she's running at her organization, particularly with junior golf. And I really feel that that's an important area that needs to be focused on. I know we have the First Tee and some of the other national programs that are going on here in the States, and they're great. But I think that we really need to showcase more of those and not to slam the Golf Channel. I love watching the Golf Channel, and I love getting updates and things like that, but they're really not focusing on that area, and I think that we need to have a forum for us to bring that to. Also, something that really disappoints me in the golf industry is really a lack of promoting women in golf. I know we have the LPGA Tour, and they're doing a fantastic job, and to be quite honest, I enjoy watching the ladies on the LPGA Tour. But as far as the instruction end, I really don't see a lot happening to help the ladies out there that are trying to bring that game to more women. I know a few years back there seemed to be a bit of a push for that, and I know that there's a lot of great people out there, such as Nicole, who's, as I said, going to be coming on the program. But also, I'm sure a lot of you have come across the Golf Bells. They're doing a fantastic job. There's just a myriad of women out there that really I want to help promote with this program. So I hope that you'll join me and help me in doing that over the next little while. One of the other gentlemen who I'm really excited about having on here, and I'm sure many of you who've go on Facebook on a regular basis are familiar with this gentleman. That's Goldstein. Now, Barry is a very unique gentleman. Certainly a wonderful instructor, just an all-round great guy. And I'll tell you, if there was an award for the number one dad, I would have to give it to Barry. I don't think I've ever met anybody or spoken with anybody who promotes their children more than Barry does. And I'm sure most of you who have seen a lot of his posts on Facebook know what I'm talking about. His daughter, Carly Rae, who is also going to be a guest on this program, is just played some phenomenal golf over the last several years in her junior programs and through high school. And as I understand from Barry, she's moving on to bigger and better things. She's received a full scholarship at LSU, so she's going to be playing some golf with LSU. So we're certainly looking forward to see that. And this young lady has amassed a phenomenal amount of wins. I think now, last count, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm sure Barry will be glad to bring me up to speed, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 to 100 tournaments. And for somebody that's just starting out at the college level to win that many tournaments coming in, they're certainly getting their money's worth. Certainly well part. So I'm looking forward to having Barry come on the show, and I'm not going to. Even though I know he's spoken about it and promoting a little bit, I know that Barry is starting a new venture that he's involved with, a new company and organization. So I'll let him talk a little bit more about that when he comes on. But as I said, Barry Goldstein and Carly Rae will be joining me here in the weeks to come as well. And as I said, I've been getting quite a few others that have been emailing me. And if you're interested in coming on the program and wanting to be involved, you can email me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. That's ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Send me an email. Let me know if you're interested in coming on the program. Or, as I said, most of you I've friended on Facebook. You can certainly visit me on Facebook and send me a message there if you'd like to come on the program as well. One of the other things that I've in the process of doing, and I haven't finalized yet, but I'm sure some of you have seen that there is now a Facebook page for this program, Golf Talk Live. I hope that you will visit the page when you get a chance, hopefully this evening, and throw a few likes my way. I would really appreciate the support. I have not officially launched the Golf Talk Live blog, but we'll be doing that in the weeks to come as well. I've just had a lot on my plate and getting this ready and communicating back and forth with some of the people. So again, I want to thank you for joining me this evening. One of the things that I want to do, and there's a few topics that I want to cover tonight, and I've lumped them in what I refer to, and this is, I must confess, I've stolen this from a Clint Eastwood movie, but I call this segment the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And what made me think of it, you'll understand as I get into the stories here, how they fit together. And I invite you, obviously, make some suggestions of upcoming programs. By all means, do. The number to call in is 646-716-4667. Again, that number is 646-716-4667. I look forward to taking some calls as the evening progresses. Anyways, getting back to the good, bad, and the ugly. Obviously, in the good, in recent weeks, I'm sure we're all aware that follow golf closely. Under the good category, I've got to put Mr. Freddie Couples' induction into the Golf Hall of Fame. Freddie, I've enjoyed watching for many, many years on tour. I remember when he first came out on tour in 1980. He was just a cool guy to watch, just an unbelievable player. As most of you know, I'm certainly not going to read through all the stats, but you know that he was born in 1959 in Seattle, Washington, and he now resides in La Quinta, California. And he's just a great player, great guy to be around. I actually met him briefly years ago at one of the Canadian Opens. He managed to push a tee shot off hole number one, and I just happened to be standing right near his ball. And just a great guy, came up, shook my hand, and was just a pleasure to talk with. But he's to date won 15 tournaments on the PGA Tour, as most of you know, and currently another 8 on the Champions Tour. Obviously, his most memorable on the PGA Tour was the 92 Masters, and I couldn't think of a more deserving player to win that tournament. He's just, I know he loves the Masters. He's talked about it as probably one of his favorites of the majors. And I was really, really pleased to see him be inducted into the Golf Hall of Fame. I know a lot of times you'll hear a lot of folks say, well, they really should be having a number of majors or they need to have, but I don't believe that. I think if a person brings what Freddie has brought to the game, it's certainly well-deserved. Obviously, Freddie was PGA Player of the Year in 92. Also in Varden Trophy for the lowest scoring average in 91 and 92. 92, he was the PGA Tour Money Leader. He's been a member of the U.S. Ryder Cup teams in 89, 91, 93, 95 and 97. Also been on the U.S. President's Cup team several years, right up to 2005. And of course, in 2009 and 2011, he was the captain of the U.S. President's Cup team. So he's got a great resume, if you will, on the PGA Tour and certainly building one on the Champions Tour. And I was glad that, unlike some who kind of shy away from the Champions Tour, I was glad that Freddie made that transition. Again, I certainly enjoy watching him. And I put him in the what I would classify as the good category. And I just, again, congratulations to Freddie Couples for being nominated into the, or sorry, for being actually put into the Golf Talk Hall of Fame. But anyways, Freddie, just an amazing player. And I look forward to seeing what he's going to do in the next few years. Moving on to the bad. I came up with this one after reading in one of the golf groups on Facebook recently. I know this has been in the media for quite some time, but more recently it's been circulating around based on a recent decision. and the BAP classify as the anchoring decision, recent ruling by the USGA and the RA with respect to anchor strokes. I'm really not sure how I personally feel about this. I'm not somebody who, when putts, I sort of putt the old-fashioned way with a standard putter. I've never really sort of taken to this format, but I can see where some might find it a little bit an advantage. I personally don't see it, but I know watching some recent blogs and as I mentioned the other night in Facebook, watched some of the comments going back and forth, and there's a lot of you out there that are actually angry with the USGA, feel that this should have been done, this decision should have made one way or the other a number of years ago. Some comments seem to show that they felt that they wasted a lot of time going back and forth on this issue. And I would certainly agree with that. I think it was a bad decision to come out at this time. I think it's something that should have been done a long time ago. Personally, I don't really care whether they allow it to continue to play. I see no reason really why not. And from what I've observed and just looking at some of the stats on the tour, I don't think it's really given anyone an advantage here nor there. So as far as the actual ruling itself, I know most of you are familiar with it, so I don't really need to go through with it. But I'd certainly like to know what your thoughts are on it. So if you want to give me a call throughout the program and either about the anchoring decision or about the previous report on Freddie, I would certainly love to hear from you. That number again is 646-716-67. And of course, lastly, I want to talk about the ugly. And before I do that, I want to if you just give me a moment here, I would just like to put on a little bit of my deer antler spray before I go into this one. I think that pretty much gives you an idea of where I'm going to go with the ugly. Again, we're all probably familiar with what's gone on in the PGA Tour recently with one of its players, Vijay Singh, and his pending lawsuit. I really don't understand the mindset of Vijay really at this point. I understand the predicament that he was put in. I think that certainly the PGA Tour has an obligation really to investigate any what they feel is improprieties on the tour. But I really don't see this lawsuit really being necessary. Vijay has indicated that he feels his name, his good name and reputation has been besmirched as a result of this. But when I look through some of the transcripts and some of the reports that have gone through, maybe did the PGA could have handled it a little bit differently, perhaps. Maybe they could have not come up with some of the comments that they did, but I really don't think that it warrants a lawsuit. And to be quite honest, it really bothers me a little bit in situations like this that the first sort of course of action everybody takes is jumping on the bandwagon with a lawsuit. I think if he had insisted that they made a public apology and maybe refused or really gave him a hard time with this issue, then I think he would have grounds for that. But as far as the lawsuit itself, I think it's really quite frivolous. And again, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that throughout the program. So that's your good, the bad, and the ugly. Again, the good being Freddie Couples' induction into the Golf Hall of Fame. The bad, obviously, the USGA and RA ruling on the anchoring of putters, and also the pending lawsuit between Vijay Singh and the PGA Tour. Again, I don't want to use this format to get into a lot of stats and things like that on the PGA Tour, but I do want to mention a couple of things. And this is just a thought, and I'm not sure what some of the listeners out there might think, but There seems to be a small group of golfers that seem to be hovering around the top five. Obviously, Tiger right now is getting back his game, and it really, in my personal opinion, let me just focus on Tiger for a second because I know that a lot of people like to hear about Tiger. On a personal note, when all this went down a couple of years ago with his personal issues, I really lost a lot of respect, as I'm sure many of you might have. But I'm not certainly one to hold a grudge, but it certainly did leave a bad taste in my mouth for him to conduct himself. But you know, he's made his apology. I think it could have been a little better than what he had done, but I'm not his judge and jury. That's something that he'll have to deal with later on. But I really, really am not as enthusiastic, for lack of better words, with the with his charge for catching up with Jack Nicklaus. It just seems to have lost the wind in my sails, as it were. Don't seem to be there as much as they were at one point. And I don't know if some of you maybe feel the same way, but it just, to me, doesn't seem that it's as exciting as it was at one time. And I know that Tiger's doing great, and I hope that that he's able to accomplish that, since that has been a primary goal of his, is to load up on the majors and either tie or certainly surpass Jack at some point. And I think it would be, overall, it would be good for the game. But on a personal note, I just really am not as enthusiastic about it. And which brings me to another player. Obviously, most of you, I'm sure, watched the Players' Championship last weekend, which, of course, Tiger won. But the player I'm really thinking about is Sergio Garcia. I remember back a while, not too many years ago, that Sergio really seemed to come out as a dominant player. And I really don't know what to think of what's been happening with this game. I mean, he's a phenomenal ball striker. He's got a great iron play. He's probably one of the best that I've seen in a long time. But I don't know whether it's an attitude issue with Sergio, or it's maybe a confidence level. He's been there in the hunt a number of times over the last few years and just doesn't seem to be able to close the deal, especially in the majors. So I don't know what's happening with Sergio, but I certainly, again, as I do with Tiger, I certainly wish him well, and I want to see him, as I do with all the players. I really don't have any particular favorites on the PGA Tour. Another player that I enjoy watching is Luke Donald. Again, phenomenal iron play, just an all-round good guy. I have a theory on why I think a lot of these players are not getting to that next level. And I'm not including any of the previously mentioned players, but something that I've noticed on really a lot of the tours, particularly the PGA and even on the LPGA tour, with a lot of younger players. And again, this is just my opinion. I don't know whether or not it's really relevant to what's been going on, but I think one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of the younger players tend to be more focused on branding themselves as opposed to playing the game. And I'll give you an example. On the LPGA Tour, when she first came out, Natalie Gulbis, I know most of you know who she is, came out pretty, I guess for lack of better words, hot and heavy with a lot of self-promotion and so forth, really before she had a lot of tournaments under her belt. And, you know, I don't have a problem with somebody doing that. But I just think that, and I take this from really a lot of the older players, such as Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, of course, and many of the other more seasoned veterans. One of the things that, if you really look back on their careers, they went out and they played great golf. They went out and played the game to their best of their ability, some better than others, obviously, and they were just able to, you know, focus solely on their golf game. And whatever residual effects, businesses that may have come out of it otherwise, was really icing on the cake, for lack of a better word. And I think for some reason, and I think this is just maybe a society thing, but it seems to have happened more in the more recent generations on the tours, where there seems to be more interest in branding themselves first before they get out there and really get a lot of accomplished. Another person I throw into that category is Michelle Wee. Now, I know that she's accomplished a lot in many ways. She's gotten over some hurdles that playing on the men's tour, which really, to me, I don't think was really a smart move at that particular time. I think maybe later on, much like Annika Sörenström did, I think would have been a better route. But obviously, this is something that she had. She wanted to get out there and play her best with the men. And I certainly don't begrudge her that, and I don't have an issue with it, other than the fact that I think that at the age that she did it, and also the way that she went about it, I don't think really was in her best interest. In fact, I think it worked against her. But I guess what I'm trying to say to the listeners here is I just think that things are working a little bit backwards. And I don't want to sound like I'm down on everything or anything like that, but I've just really noticed that. And I think, again, it's a societal thing that just seems to happen, that some of the more seasoned and veteran players seem to do it, I feel, in a better format. They went out and played their game first and built their businesses later. And probably one of the best examples of that really is Greg Norman. Certainly, Mr. Nicholas and Mr. Palmer have both unbelievable business savvy. And but I think they would even concede that Greg Norman has probably put together one of the best businesses in the golf industry. He's just virtually into just about everything, and he's really built a what I would classify as an empire, and certainly have a lot of respect for Greg Norman as a player. I know that he's had a rough go of it there for a few years on the tour when he would come in runner-up in the majors, and had quite a few happen to him. And I know that I'm sure it had to affect him at some point, but he's managed to bounce back, and he's really shown that his business is what is most important to him, and obviously golf was a tool and a vessel that helped him to achieve that. So certainly kudos to Greg Norman. One of the other things on the tour that I wanted to really talk about, there's been a lot of talk over the years about equipment. Should they? I know, again, Jack Nicklaus has mentioned publicly many times that, and spoken of many times rather, that he feels that with the advancements of the golf ball and certain equipment, that it's making a lot of the courses obsolete. In some respects, I would agree with Mr. Nicklaus. I think that obviously, I know from my own game, I remember playing back some years ago when I still used my Persimmon woods. I knew how far I was hitting them then, and now with the metal woods and graphite shafts and so forth, can certainly launch it much further than what I did. Of course, the industry reacted by lengthening a lot of the courses. Augusta National has lengthened its course on a number of occasions in order to meet that demand. But I had a thought, and I've heard this mentioned before, and I'm not sure whether or not it would help the situation a little bit. But and I know that there are plenty of tournaments out there right now in this format. But I'm wondering if maybe more tournaments, if more of them were to convert over to a match play format as opposed to stroke play. And the reason why I say that is obviously in stroke play you're playing against the field. And you might not, on the Thursday round, might not be in the lead, but you certainly have three more days to catch up. And obviously we've seen Tiger come from behind many, 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 many times and do that successfully. But I've also seen him in a match play format where he's lost early matches and been eliminated. And that has opened up a field for many other good players to have a chance at winning that particular event. So I'm wondering, and again, I'm asking for some input here from some of the whether or not maybe moving some of the more some of the other scheduled tournaments into a match play format might help alleviate that problem. Obviously, they're still going to be hitting the ball just as far, but I think by changing that format, it might give some of the players that don't hit as far maybe a bit of an advantage. Some of your stronger players, again, as I mentioned, Luke Donald and some of the other ones that, even though he does hit a pretty decent lengthy shot off the tee, has a phenomenal iron play. And, you know, if, as an example, if he was matched up with Tiger and not playing his best golf that particular day, Luke might have a better shot at progressing through the tournament. And so that's really what I think might be an opportunity for the PGA Tour to look at, and I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've got a lot of smart people on their advisory board. But I really think that it's going to get to a point where they're going to have to make some kind of a change. And I know that they've talked about it. They've talked about scaling some of the equipment back, but and I'm sure receiving a lot of pressure from the manufacturers not to do that, because obviously they want to appease the average golfer out there that wants to get more distance and more accuracy with some of the game improvement clubs that are coming out there. And obviously those particular clubs are not played out on the tour. But I know that the manufacturers want to be able to give the tour players the best advantage that they can. And so, you know, I really think that that's something that the PGA Tour and other governing bodies need to take a look at. Maybe doing something as opposed to just lengthening the courses all the time. I want to just quickly go back a little bit to the format of this program. As I said, just to give everybody that might be just tuning in right now, I've been talking a little bit here just about some things on the tour and whatnot the last little while, but I opened up the show really talking about the format being that I want Golf Talk Live to be a vessel, if you will, for the teaching professionals, both male and female, and with regards to whatever aspect of the game, whether you're a PGA teaching professional or a member, as I am with the USGTF, really doesn't matter. You've sought the challenge to help a lot of people out there, and I think that I want to give you a voice, much like I want a voice, to be able to get out there and just really help those within the profession who might not normally be able to do so. As I mentioned earlier, obviously on the Golf Channel, they've got a lot of other things that they're focusing on, and there's a couple things that I want to talk about, actually, about the Golf Channel a little bit later, but so I'll get to that shortly. But really, the Golf Channel's main focus really is the tour itself, and I know that they are featuring a number of teaching professionals on their program, and I know that that's the format that they've chosen, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but I really think that there needs to be something out there for and I hate to use this term, particularly in today's political climate, but the other 99% in the teaching profession, who, as I said, don't maybe have a voice. So I'm hoping that I can count on all of you to cooperate and get involved in this particular program. I think it'll be a good one, and I think if we structure it properly, we'll be able to help a lot of golfers out there. And it's something, really an experiment that I had done a number of years ago when I was back up in Canada. I belonged to an organization that helped promote a particular region that I was living in at the time. And one of the things, and this is really what sort of helped with this format for the Golf Talk Live program, what I wanted to be able to do, as I said, was to bring a vast group of professionals within this industry together, give them a voice on Golf Talk Live, and let them basically come on the program and talk about what they do. And what I did back home in a different industry, many of the business that were involved in this particular region, quite often when we would go to, as an example, we'd go to trade shows, they'd each sort of have their own booth and do their own thing. And really there was really no continuity to the region. A lot of people would come up and, of course, they would be promoting, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I proposed to the particular head of the city council that the region itself, which was actually the region of Hamilton-Wentworth, which I was born in, that when they go to the trade show, because they also had a very large booth, I proposed to them the idea of bringing a lot of members through the Chamber of Commerce sort of under the fold of the region and helping to absorb some of the cost of doing these trade shows and promoting the actual region of Hamilton with these different attractions and so forth happening. And this is what I see really with this particular format here in Golf Talk Live. I want to be able to act as the region, if you will, in the golf industry, be able to bring some of its professionals on board, on the program on a consistent and continual basis, and allow the listeners, the average golfer, as I said earlier, to be able to call in and speak with you live on air and just get some useful tips and obviously get a sense of your teaching forte, if you will, and just get a lot of different perspectives. I think one of the mistakes that happens is obviously we know that everybody has their own unique style and a way of approaching things, but what often ends up happening is it gets a little bit stale after a while and people are looking for something new. And obviously, as we know, that the golf industry is changing with great leaps and bounds all the time. There's always new technology, especially with the internet. Everybody is just able to access so much information. As I mentioned with our iPhone app earlier, T-Pro Golf Caddy, that my business partner Buck and I came out with, when I first came out, when we first launched that back in early 2011, there were a few golf apps on the market. Well, now there are several available. So obviously it was a format that a lot of people gravitated to, and I think it's great to be able to have that instant access. I think really gone are the days where people sit at home and watch a 30-minute instructional video. The market has certainly changed, and I'm sure that most of you that are out there promoting and marketing yourselves already know this, but you don't really see a lot of video being sold in that format any longer. Most of it's through YouTube and through other media outlets that people want to be able to get it now. They want to be able to download it fast onto their iPod or iPad and other devices, and want to be able to have that access. So this is something that really we also want to talk about here on Golf Talk Live. We want to be able to look at not only some of the different teaching techniques, but also we want to hear from some of the industry leaders in how they utilize some of this technology to help some of those that are maybe struggling with it a little bit to be able to give some pointers and tips. So really, this is a format where not only we're going to give instruction to those listening, but we're going to be able to help advise them and guide them into some of the latest technology and how they can improve their game. And that's really what it's all about. As an instructor, really your primary goal, obviously, is to teach a number of folks out there. But we want to be able to give them the best instruction possible with the best tools available in the industry. And there's been a lot of talk, as I said, recently by a number of people. I'm going to mention a few of them. Out of Tampa Bay, Florida, Mr. Greg Thorner. He's been very active in many of the golf groups on Facebook, who I know most of you have probably been on myself. There's a lot of advertising that goes on in these groups, and so I know that you have to kind of sift through. Greg's done a fantastic job of really keeping it to specific golf-related conversations and having questions in there. And I really appreciate the fact that Greg has done that. And I certainly, even though I do not post a lot on Facebook, I try to really observe and see what's going on. And this is what's given me a lot of ideas over the years to do different things, is I'm a firm believer that you can never learn everything, that it's an ongoing process. So really, again, just to sum up, this is what the format of the program is to give you, the golf instructor and golf business professional, an opportunity and a voice to be able to come on the program, Golf Talk Live, and talk about some of the things that that I've previously mentioned. I mentioned a few moments ago about the Golf Channel. Just a couple of points that I want to make. I was going to put this is another segment that I'm going to have at later shows is going to be what I like to call
up your shaft.
That's right, up your shaft. I just sometimes get little pet peeves, and one of them I have right now with the Golf Channel. As I know, most of you tune into the morning drive and certainly get a lot of information there, but maybe it's just me. Maybe some of the rest of you feel this way. Maybe none of you do. Maybe it's just me. But I've just noticed that it seems to have taken on more of a 24/7 cable news look to it. And what I mean by that is it just seems to be a constant repetitive talk of some of the issues going on. And I understand the importance of keeping everybody up to date and wanting to keep everybody abreast of what's going on, both on the tours, but also in the golf industry in general. And I'm all for that. But I just feel from when it first sort of broke ground there a short time back, it just seems to have gone to more of that. And I know that a lot of the media outlets have done that. And really, it's a shame because I think it's turning people off. And I know it's turned me off. I used to be a big watcher on golf on the Golf Channel, and and I certainly have tuned in many mornings on the morning drive. And I think it's a great concept, and I wish it to continue. But I just think that there's situations that where you just need to ratchet back that type of format, and I think that's one of them. I think people want to certainly get updated on what's happening, and as I said, in this day and age of technology, people want to get the news fast. They want to be able to access information online and through other sources. And I know that the Golf Channel is appealing to a wide variety of listeners and viewers, but I just feel that it's gone down a road that that it's just not, in my opinion, really benefiting the viewers as much as it should be. And again, this is no knock to anybody on the Morning Drive program, but I just think that when you're over a 3 or 4 hour period, you're sort of regurgitating the same information time and time again. It just gets a little bit old, and I just feel that that you're thirsting for something new. So that's just my 2 cents on that. I'm sure that over time, people maybe even tonight might think the same thing about me, but and that's okay. I don't I'm not impartial to criticism, and I don't have a problem with that. One of the things that I also wanted to talk about here with respect to the program is, as I said, some of the guests that are going to be coming up. Nicole Weller, as I said, from Savannah, Georgia. She's the head teaching professional at the Savannah, Georgia, and she's going to be coming on here and talking a little bit about some of the junior programs that she's doing there at the at the Landing Club. And I apologize for having a brief brain freeze there. She's been doing this, I know, for quite some time, and has I'm actually very excited about having her on the program in the next couple of weeks. She'll be here, as I mentioned earlier, on May 30th on Golf Talk Live. She'll be coming on the program, and I want her really to talk about, and this is an area that I think really needs to be focused on. And as I said, there are a lot of programs out there. The First Tee is a great program, but I really want to get Nicole on the program and have her talk about some of the things that she's doing to help really grow the game at a junior level with the kids just starting out. And I know she operates and runs a number of different programs at the Landing Club there in Savannah, and so I'm really kind of excited to get her on here and get her talking about that. And also, if there's any of you that are listening, or if you don't personally, but you know others in the golf profession that are particularly dealing in that area where you're working a lot with junior programs of that nature, like a first tee program, again, I invite you to call into the program, but also email me at, again, my email address is for the program is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. I invite you to email me and or call into the program if you wish, and just give me a sense of what it is that you're doing for junior golf, and how we can, as instructors, better focus our efforts on really growing this game. I know that a lot of kids are excited at a very early age and want to get in on the ground floor. And I think that any way that we can capitalize on that, I think is going to be beneficial for us all. Another area, though, that I do think that's important, and I touched on briefly earlier in the program, is women golfers. And that would be another really pet peeve I have with the Golf Channel. And again, I don't want to come across that I'm slamming the Golf Channel. I love the Golf Channel. I think it's a great network, and I watch it as much as often, and I'm sure as much as anybody listening. But I just think that they need to have more female instructors on the program. I know Holly Saunders has been joining the Golf Talk, Golf Channel family this year, and I know that she's been doing some outside work as well, and getting with some of the pros and doing some segments, and that's great. But I really think that the Golf Channel needs to be more, and that's another area that I really would like to focus on. And I think that some of the instructors here, such as Nicole and others that I've been in touch with, some other great instructors, female instructors out there, Meredith Kirk, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with from the Myrtle Beach area. Again, another great instructor. Would love to have her on the program as well about some of the things that she's doing. There are a number of others. Kendra Vallone, who is involved with Golf Bells, is another person that's involved heavily in golf, and would certainly, as I said, love to have some of the Golf Bells on here. In fact, I would love to have an episode dedicated just to having them on here and talking about some of the different programs that they do. So, really, to sum up this point to the listeners, I want for you to really think about how we can put this together, how we can work together as a team here on Golf Talk Live, and create a program that's going to unify not only instructors, but also those out there that are trying to learn the game, either from a beginning level or those that may be a little bit more advanced that want to fine-tune the game. This can be a great format that we can work together and just focus on building the game and turning it into really a great format. So, again, I want to thank you for tuning in this evening. I just wanted to give you a general idea of what Golf Talk Live was going to be focusing on, what the direction that we're taking it in. Obviously, the normal program is going to run a full 2 hours. I'm not going to do that tonight. Obviously, I didn't schedule a guest. This was really more of an introduction to Golf Talk Live, just to give you a little bit of an idea of where I'm coming from and what we want to do with the program. So I want to thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate the support and all of the well wishes that I received. And I hope that you will join me next week, the same time, Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. This particular program will rebroadcast again this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. So again, just in closing, I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope that you will continue to support the program. Please, as I said, get in touch with me in the coming weeks at either email at me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, or you can call into the program at 646-716-4667, and we can certainly get some ideas going from that standpoint. So in closing, one last time, I just want to thank you all for tuning in. And I look forward to hopefully many, many episodes of working together with a lot of the professionals out there. And I look forward to some of your comments, and I hope that you'll be kind. And just remember that this particular initial program was really just an informative program to let you know what's going to be happening in the weeks coming. Don't forget to come back on to listen to Nicole Weller from the Landing Club out in Savannah, Georgia. And in the weeks, I will have a very good man, Brent, great instructor, and just an all-around super guy, Mr. Barry Gold, from Coral Springs, Florida. And, of course, his daughter, Carly Ray, who's going to be attending this fall, LSU. I'm sure playing some good, some great golf for their team. So again, thank you, everybody for tuning in and, to seeing you next week at the same time. Thank you. God bless and have a great evening. Thank you for calling in.